I said this, and I said that we begin to bind our families to God. And hear this, because sometimes you've always known this, that if somebody said something, that words stick. They really are. They're powerful. And you could speak things, parents speak things over their kids, and they can speak negativity to them and disrupt their lives. I don't know if you've had things spoken over you. I don't know if sometimes parents are weak. Sometimes parents are, they make mistakes. Sometimes parents fail us. But God never does. And sometimes they'll speak things, and I break anything that's been spoken over you right now. Come on, just receive it right now. Come on. See, God's the God of eternity. So whatever was spoken over you 25, 30 years ago, it's loosed right now in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. It's loosed right now. So whatever that might be, whatever it is, come on. Because we carry those things, that negativity, and the enemy will, sometimes it's embarrassing in our lives. It becomes an embarrassment. And the enemy will use that embarrassment to have foundations in your life. Foundations. The Bible says they're strongholds. That means the foundations in our lives that we give to the enemy. Strongholds. We give them a culture, an environment to establish things in our lives. And sometimes we could go on and be in church all our lives, but yet there can be a stronghold in our lives that can disrupt. Every time things seem like they're going right, can flare up. So we just broke it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, that thing's broken in Jesus' name. Amen. And listen, this is what we got to do. We got to speak the name of Jesus. Just like you could speak curses to people, you could speak blessing. So bind them to the things of God. Amen. Bind your family to the thing of God. When you stand up in the morning, before you go out of your house, bind your family, God, Lord, to the things of God, to the Word of God. Begin to bind them to the love that God has for them. Amen. Let God begin to, we need to begin to be spiritual disruptors. Disrupt people from living in turmoil and depression. Be a spiritual disruptor, hallelujah. That when people got anxiety, that God's got you in their life to speak peace to their life, to be a spiritual disruption. Jesus was a spiritual disruptor to those around. He walked on the water above the storm. Do you think that affected the anxiety of those ones that were with him? Yeah, they were like, what? Jesus disrupted death. I just feel that God wants us to be some disruptors. Speaking life over people. They ain't even knowing what's coming. Like Renee says, it doesn't always have to be something. It could just be love. It's who you are. It's not about a sermon you got to write. It's a life that you got to live. It's those people, and I told the kid that was with me today, I said, you know, you're in trouble. The more time you spend with me, the more hungry you're going to get after God. He said, well, I know, I read the Bible all the time now. Did I tell you to do that? No. I said, see? You get around the right people, you begin to do the right things. Rub off on people. So I'm here to tell you, don't let the enemy tell you you're not being an influence to somebody. There's people that's in your life that's watching you, that you're a light to them. And you're disrupting their darkness. You might make them uncomfortable, Beth. You might make them, that's why sometimes you feel like, don't they like me? Mm-mm. You're just disrupting their darkness. Gotta be so bright. Gotta be so bright. Yeah, I got to be bright. Amen? So that's just a little, that's free. It's all free, so don't worry about it. So, thank you for, that was good, wasn't it? That was good. Good song. Amen. We're going to learn that song here soon. So here's what I want to share with you real quick. I want to go over a couple. This is a smorgasbord of stuff before we get into our next series. But we're going to do Thanksgiving for a little bit. And then we're going to talk in 2 weeks after Thanksgiving on a Wednesday night. We're going to talk about the Word become flesh. Jesus being born in a manger and a lot of good stuff, all that stuff. All right, I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm just going to leave that. And then, but we're going to start a series after next week. It's going to be called Praise. I don't know what we're going to do it, but it's about praise and worship. So it's going to be good. Amen. So tonight I want to do a smorgasbord about Thanksgiving, about love, and about studying. And I think it's important because I was talking to somebody and they said, hey, listen, I really want to start studying. I want to commit my life to studying the Word of God. And I was like, cool, so do I. When will we meet together? Okay, let's do it. So we're going to meet once a month, and I already made my first date with them. And, you know, spiritual date. So we're going to get together and start studying the Bible. Amen? Right, Stace? Amen? She knows what I'm talking about. So that's a good thing. Amen? Just being friends with people. Amen? So here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that the Bible is meant to be read. Let me say it again. It's meant to be read. It's meant to be lived. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He says, read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, pass it on. It is the Word of God. I'm going to say it again. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, pass it on. That's what the Word of God is. Amen. That's what we're meant to do. Amen. I loved it. And that is the person, Smith Wigglesworth, that you'd want to let be an example to you, because God used him to raise people from the dead. Amen. Powerful man of God. But this is important. I know we have phones, and those are cool. I get it. But honestly, I really feel that this is important. Carry a Bible, especially a Bible study. And don't feel bad if you don't have your Bible. Don't show me your Bibles now. But listen, can I show you something? Look, I have written in every page. Like, I write every time I hear something. When I'm sitting, I write it down. I write my Bible. I write it down. Or when I'm sitting there, like I'm sitting and I'm listening to Apostle Valentine, and everything, I write the scriptures, and I write this down. I'll mark it out. And then I'll go home and I'll get back in it. Because sometimes you don't know what to study. Study what you just heard in sermon. Amen. Take it back with you. Come on, amen. It's leftovers, amen. Take it with you. Write the scriptures down. Put them down and go study them. Write them. And then you rehearse in your mind what you heard up here, amen. You take it with you through the week, and you begin to say, man, you begin to eat it. You begin to spiritually digest it, begin to grow from it, amen. That's what we do. That's what we need to do. Take it and grow from it. Read that, you know what I mean? Write it down. Take notes. Take notes. It's important to learn to do that. And then what you do is, say, here's what you do. Pastor, I'm not sure how to study. Find a word. Maybe whatever that word might be. Whatever that is that you're struggling with peace. Look, get in your phone and punch in scriptures about peace. They'll come up. Or if you got the Bible app, punch in peace. They'll come up. And start reading them. By the time you're done, you'll read like 40 scriptures and say, wow, I really got a handle on peace, man. Wow. Or whatever that might be. Just start searching it out. And you'll read it and begin to get into it. And then if you want to get deeper in, you can get into the Greek and the Hebrew. I have a Greek and Hebrew Bible. It's not as complicated as you think. Trust me. I barely got by high school. So if the Spirit of God is within you and He desires you to learn, to know these things, it's not meant to be a secret. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you, that's His job, to point to Jesus and to show you how much He loves you, how valued you are, your purpose, plans,
That's what the Holy Spirit does.
So, and what I mean by the Greek and Hebrew, because we understand that the Old Testament was Hebrew, written in Hebrew. The New Testament is in Greek, a lot of Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic. That's what he spoke. So what happens is the King James Bible is a close translation to things, but they got the those and thems. It's kind of hard to get hold of it. So there's a lot of things in there from the King James where you can look and you can see there's numbers, little tiny numbers in your Bible. I don't want to get into that right now, but there's little numbers beside words, and you can look those words up and see what it means in the Greek. You hear me say, this what means this in the Greek, this means this in the Hebrew, because it's important. It really helps you grow in your understanding. And you begin to see things like you become more in awe of God. Trust me. You know what I mean? Because there's deep things. And whenever you find something valuable, you dig. Come on. When you find something valuable, you keep digging. And you're looking for more. Because there's more. Tell someone there's more. There's a lot more. Amen? All right. This guy here, I read this book. It's Bonhoeffer. He was this is a man of God that lived in Germany and during Hitler. And he had every opportunity to stay here, and he stayed there, preaching the gospel, jeopardizing his life. And he was there to speak and to help and to speak into people's lives. And that he was born in that moment to help the people that are devastated. Powerful story of this man. He says this, and I wrote this. I marked this down in my Bible. He says, if I could find it. One second. All right. He says this about prayer. This is what Luther said. He said that as a shoemaker makes shoes and a tailor makes clothes, so also must Christians pray. That's really, really significant. He said this. He said, about life together. He said this about prayer, life together. He says, Christian fellowship lives and exists by intercession, interceding on one another, for one another, people praying for your brothers and sisters. Here's why. He says, for one another, if not, the whole thing will collapse. Because it's meant to be built on unity, oneness. He says, I can no longer hate a brother for whom I pray. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I can no longer hate a brother that I pray for. If you hate somebody, start praying for them. That's God's remedy to heal you of your hatred. If you hate somebody, come on, there's somebody that you're thinking right now that you have a hard time for. And I'm here to tell you, pray for them. Be a spiritual disruptor. Come on, amen. Be a spiritual disruptor in your own life. Because hatred breeds bitterness. Bitterness, hallelujah, begins to bring in spiritual witchcraft. Come on, amen. Witchcraft in our lives. If we have that in our hearts. So you begin to break it off, amen. Do you know why the Bible says this? It says, give us my daily bread. And the next verse is what? Wait, what? The next verse. He talks about giving spiritual bread. And the next verse is about forgiveness. As much as I need spiritual bread, I need to forgive those around me for my spiritual walk to exist. Because if I don't have forgiveness, the bread will mean nothing. Come on, amen? So, all right. I said that to say this. You okay? You okay, Del? You all right, Del? Don't talk about me. Let's check this out. Ephesians 1. I know I've been here a lot. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is one of the ones I want to give it to you right now. I challenge every one of you right now. How many of you guys want to know more about the Lord? You want to grow greater in God? This is the scripture that you read. How many times? Every single day, maybe once or twice a day. Find the scripture, write it down, put it on a piece of paper, carry it in your pocket. Amen. Put it on your sleeve. I don't care what you do with it. Get it, because this needs to be your prayer. I don't know what to pray. Here's a prayer. This is a prayer. This is a prayer that you pray. Amen? And he says, you pray it as a prayer. He says, God, Lord Jesus Christ, our Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit. God, give unto me the Spirit of wisdom. You pray that God give me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, that I might have that. The eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of His glory and the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He brought in Christ, and He raised Him from the dead, and He set Him on the right hand of heavenly places, above principalities, above powers, above might, above dominion, and every name that is named, every name, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and hath put all things, say all things, under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Everything. You're the body of Christ. So here, listen, I want you to see this. So we got to pray this. It's part of your responsibility to pray this, to ask God. I promise you, God will give you revelation of who He is. What does revelation mean? Revelation of Jesus in your life, just like we pray. Wow. God, you know He wants to do that to you, Dale? He wants to give you a revelation. Sorry, I'm helping you. I worry about that. They put those things in Dunkin' Donuts cups. And I always yank them out because I don't want them to choke. I care about him. So that's our responsibility. Amen. Where was I? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. That he wants to disrupt those things. So when we begin to get a revelation of Christ in my life, that we say, God, give me a revelation of you in the midst of this situation. And you pray that every prayer. You know, God, today, that God, Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, amen. In the day the Lord has made. God has given you provision today. Walk through life ignorant of what God's provided for me today. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. Sometimes we'll walk without peace, realizing He's given it to me. Sometimes we'll walk in anxiety. Sometimes we'll walk in fear, where God, we realize that God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. See, we walk in things, but if I get a revelation, we pray every day, give me a revelation who you are today. Before I walk out the house, before I put my boots on, give me a revelation of you today. Whatever is blinding me that I don't see who you are in my life, let your light shine. Amen? All right, so that's our prayer. So this says here, but I want to open with this, 1:18. If our eyes of understanding be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of the calling and the riches, say the riches of the glory of His inheritance, where? In the saints. There's riches in the... There's an investment in you. He gave you an investment that's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's an investment in the saints of God. and I got to recognize it. I got to realize the investment and the value in one another. I got to see it. I have to see it. This is the greatest thing. If this is foundational for our walk with God, if you're a Christian and you hate other Christians, you're not walking with God. You're not walking in the light. Because God says, if you love, say you love me and you hate your brother. Listen, and God deals with a lot of this. And understand, because why? Sometimes we get upset with our brothers. So God says, forgive us today. Forgive me as I forgive the dirty scoundrels around me. As I forgive those around me, God. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Cause me to love them like you do. We naturally don't. So you begin to feed your spirit. Come on, amen? Am I making sense? So there's an investment within one another's. There's something about relationship that helps me to grow. There's riches in one another. There's riches. There's something in you that I need. There's something that God wants to use through one another that we be obedient. You know, we learn to be witnesses with each other first. The Bible says, go ye into Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts. Do you know when he was talking to them, he was talking about Judea. He was talking about where they lived. Their house, their homes. Be a witness there. Then go to Samaria. Go to your city. Then go to the outermost parts of the world. We want to go to the outermost parts of the world, but yet we don't want to love our brothers beside us. Okay? It's easy to love people that are in China. But to love the person that's greeting you at the door, playing the music, that's beside you on the drums or whatever. That's where it's real. Whoa. That's where it's real. That's why God put this together. God has church for us to come together so that guess what? What you didn't realize, you didn't know was in you, you find out. You can be in a cave all your life and not realize what's wrong with you. You get around other people, you realize, whoa, I'm not who I thought I was. Am I right? You will never see any flaws with yourself if you're in the cave by yourself. But you get around other people, you'll start getting annoyed, realizing you weren't as patient as you thought you were. All right, I'm preaching myself. This is good to me. It's a smorgasbord for me. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I say this and I say it again. Read it. Eat it. Come on, amen. Get this in your heart, your spirit. If you begin to get this in your heart, it'll spill out to others around you. Amen. If you get messed up, you're thinking about what God looks like, what God acts like. Here's your reboot. Say reboot. If you get frustrated with people, you get angry with people, you're not knowing which way to go, reboot. That's why I read this every day. A try. I know that when I began to lose patience, I got to reboot. Because this reminds me, this is God. This is what God looks like, and He wants you to look like this. Come on, amen? She's supposed to be there, and she's not. See, that was... Father, forgive me, forgive her. Listen, listen. Listen, love. We know them. Amen? It's love. Love long. It's kind. I'm going to read through this so you can understand it. No, I'm going to read. We all have these and we'll continue to carry these. We need to make more of these. But out of the King James... this will make more sense if I read it through here. Love is patient. Love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, not proud, does not dishonor others. It says, it is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It does not keep record. I know I've stepped on all your toes in mine. Love does not delight in evil. Like when someone fails, it doesn't rejoice. The world loves it. The world loves it when they see people fail because you know what? It makes them feel better. You want to know who your brothers and sisters are? When you tell them something good happened to you and you watch what their face, how they act. Whenever they hear that, man, you're successful at that moment, and you see them fired up, man, that's awesome. And you see their face go, oh, I hope your life would suck. No, it's doing great. Listen. This is what. So here's what I mean. This is. Can I say it this way? Love reveals what I'm not. So when you read that, it will reveal to you what you're not. Because when I read it, sometimes, oh, I'm not. But it doesn't. It's not that meant to be that way for you to say, well, to feel defeated. No. It's for you to be encouraged to say, but you are. I am in you. Amen. What I said, give me the understanding that I could be what you are and you are love. So the more that I get close to you, the more light I get in you, the more life I get in me. The more revelation of who he is and what he is, he's love. And when I begin to see him for who he is, I see me for who I am. I'm patient. When I see it that way, I'll act like it. So, listen, when I seek my own, I lack love. When I'm easily provoked, I lack love. When I'm not patient, I lack love. We don't want to lack it. Say lack it. Acts. I'm going to give you the scripture. Acts 2. Can I just say this? Listen, this is so important. This is the, I got this addiction right now. Good, it's good. But I'm like obsessed with the first century church, like the first 70 disciples, and I just been studying them, their names, and I have a whole notebook of. I didn't bring it up with me. But their names and the ones that they, these different disciples in. The effect they had and the decision that they made. It just makes me emotional right now. Because we do not go through what these men went through. And women apostles. There's at least three of them in the Bible. Three women that were carrying the message of the gospel in a powerful way. But I look at these ones, some of these ones where that they declared and they spoke the gospel and they were drugged by a horse until they stopped breathing. Stoned to death. Beaten to death. Crucified. That tells me that every one of these disciples, most of them, believed what they preached. Because you won't die for something you don't believe in. But by the second century, things really got out of line. Off track. And God's been continually trying to get us back to that. But one of the breakthrough things that took place was unity. Every move of God, one combinant, there is unity. God will not do anything outside of it. This church, if you study this church and the disciples of Christ, we're part of the second awakening in America, where that they left the other churches. I'm not going to say what they are because it doesn't matter, because they weren't inclusive to others, in a sense where that they said, well, they're not part of us, so they cannot take communion with us. And some of these men and women of God were like, wait a minute, to be a believer, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and even if they're not Presbyterian or a Methodist or this or that, it doesn't matter. Are they Christians? Do they serve Christ? Do they receive Christ in their life? Do they confess Christ? And so they began this, and they got involved with some other ones, Western Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and they had this gathering together, and a revival broke out where the Spirit of God just moved in this one little tiny building, and thousands of people began to come because of what they were preaching, this unity, this oneness, and God moved in it. Thousands were saved. Because they were declaring something that this is something you can have. It's not just for this person, but no. It's for you. It's for that person, for this person, that you can have this relationship with God. God moved in it. That it wasn't just for the preacher. For him to recite the scriptures to you. No. You get in the Word of God. The enemy wants to snuff that out. He don't want you to know. Because if you begin to know, it's dangerous for him. Amen? So, but as I was saying, the first century church, it was about unity. And we could see this in Acts 2. I just want to give these couple of things. Is he okay? I know I'm going a lot, throwing some stuff out here, but sometimes there's just things in my heart that I just want to just get off my chest. Is that all right? And all that believed, and fear came upon everyone. Not the fear of men, but the fear of God. Not a fear of fearful. No. It was an honor. It was a overwhelmingness of, wow, of the power of God. Greater in this respect and this honor that he had. Amen? So he had this fear, they had this, and it overwhelmed them, and they believed. So he says, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They were done by the apostles. They were these ones. And that believed were together, and they all believed. Say they all believed, and were together. God moves when you believe and you come together. When you believe and you come together. Amen? There's something about that. And he says, and he had all things, and they had all things in common. Wow. The rich to the poorest. They had one thing in common. Common denominator, his name was Jesus. He says, and they sold their possessions and their goods. Sold it. Don't get upset with me. I'm not talking about your possessions. I know you won't, but this is powerful, because here's what it is. I mean, they're willing to put aside whatever possession they had for a greater good. I'm not talking about socialism. He said, but they sold all their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men and women, everyone man had need. Everybody that had need. Everybody that had needs. They became a source from heaven. I mean, sometimes we pray that, God, I pray that for this, bless this person. No, you are the blessing, the window of heaven that God wants to open up. And sometimes what we do, we shut the window and we shut the blessing. Sometimes there's a need and we think, well, it's too big. No, no. Sometimes, I guess what? If we meet somebody's need, that I want you to know that you can never outgive God. You can never outbless God. You can never outdo God. Amen. That in the sense that it's not just to get something. It's not just to get something. It's who we are. Giving is who we are. It's for God so loved that He gave. God's a giver. He's a giver. He's a giver. And we are His children. So God wants us to be givers. Sometimes we spend so much time holding on and trying to build up our nest. Our accounts. Instead of finding a need and saying, man, I got to help you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless this person. Just bless it, whatever it might be. There's something about that. See, listen. And that comes from this believing. This comes from this union. This comes with this oneness with God. And it comes from this relationship that we have. And, I mean, I've seen it sometimes where the people drive around. And it says, and they continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread into house to house to eat the meat together with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily. We don't have to add. God does. We just got to do the right thing. Come on, amen. We got to do the right thing. And God will add. That's not my business. Amen? All right. What time is it? Oh, that's it? Okay. Give me a minute. I'm almost done. No, I'm not, but it's okay. True believing. We need to build a culture of faith and love. See, this is what I mean. But listen, and I'm not telling, don't just empty your bank account and go give it to somebody. You've got to be moved by God. Hear what I'm saying. Listen. As your faith grows, your hearing will grow. God wants you to be in a place to be a spiritual blessing to somebody that you have an ear to hear. Not just doing it, because sometimes if you just do it, you feel like you're supposed to do this. Sometimes it's good to do those things, but sometimes people just do it and then, well, God will take care of it. He'll bless me. Well, He will always bless you, but if you're doing it for the wrong reasons. I told a man one time, that he says, I did this and this and this and this and this and this. And he says, I know that God will bless me. I said, well, if it's not the right, didn't come from the right place of your heart, it won't. Oh, yes, He will. He'll still honor it. No. If it comes from greed or comes from that, He's not going to give it to you. He got really angry with me. He still doesn't talk to me. But it was truth because it's real. But see, God wants us to be in a sensitive way that we're be a place that we be a voice to be able to hear that God says He knows that there's someone hurting, there's somebody that needs something, that God wants to use you, that He wants to speak to you, and maybe He'll speak to you whenever we're not holding on so tight to what we have, that maybe God will speak to me because He knows that I will release it. I'll let it go. So, but that comes with faith. So that's what happens. You begin to, you realize, and you grow in faith, and you begin to say, you know what? God will take care of me. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about it. He said, yeah, but aren't you scared that you're going to lose your this? No. I'm just doing it. They did it. You know how many people probably said to yourself, you're going to give your possessions so that they could, really? Yeah, they're starving. They're starving. What? It's not even a question. That's what was happening at this moment right here. There's people were in places of hunger, starving, literally starving. And that's what ultimately happened. You know what I mean? A lot of the... I am not going to get into that right now, but there's... Church history tells you that. And he says they were continuing praising God daily. There was many that were saved because of it. Because of it. I told you before that the first time it spoke of holiness, of us being holy, spoke of hospitality. Holiness as hospitality. That you become hospitable, that because of your hospitality, that they will know that I'm God. they will know you're my disciples for your love one to another. They'll know that you're love because they'll say, wow, well, they want me to come in. They don't shut the door. They don't push me away because of this and that, because of where I've been, what I've done. Jesus threw that whole thing away whenever the prostitutes showed up, when the people that were overcome with sin or whatever it was stepped in the midst and he invited over. I want to eat at your house tonight. That's not religion. Come on, amen? So listen. Isaiah 58:6. Can you look that up, Liza? This week? That's what he said. I'm just repeating it. Listen, and is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now he's asking this question, saying, listen, is this not how what I've chosen? He says, to loose the bands of wickedness? This is a fast. That means you set apart and you dedicate it, whether you come eating and, you know, and they were doing fast and they were doing it so that everybody could see them. They seen their faces and they were like, what are you doing? I'm fasting. For what? For God. Wow. Really? You don't seem happy about it. You look miserable. But they did it so that others would see that they'd be in this mourning position, angry, because they're fasting. He says, to do undo heavy burdens, to undo, say undo, burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. What's the next one? Is not this the deal, bread to the hungry? He's talking about breaking chains. Let's disrupt the spirit of hunger with provision. Let's disrupt the spirit of poverty that people live generation after generation in poverty. Let's teach them, hallelujah, the blessings in the Word of God. How they can disrupt it. He says, and that the bring the poor and the are cast out of thy house when they see us the naked and they cover them. Bring in the ones that don't have nowhere to go. Listen, bring in the ones that no one wants. I want them in this house. Come on, amen. I want them in this house. Those ones that are naked, that feel ashamed. I want them in this house so that we can cover them with the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. And we can let them know that they're loved by God. And we read them the Word of God and cover their nakedness with God's Word. That's breaking chains. That's breaking it. Amen? You got Galatians? No, I do. Galatians 5, 6. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither is the circumcision of elevated, but faith which worketh by love. Faith and love go together. They work together. Amen? I don't know if Apostle said, did he say that Saturday? He said that, yeah. Faith works by love. Works by love. Without faith, there's no love, no love, there's no faith. They work together. They come together as a duo. Amen? So, faith came to produce love. Faith produces love. The more faith, like I said, the more love you get. Amen? All right. So, can you run downstairs and, on my desk and just grab that my big notebook, bring it up here real quick, sir? I want to give you something before I'm done. Yeah, Ron. Thanks, Renee. Thanks. All right. Now, I said I wanted to go here. Colossians 2. 7, just while she comes up, and then I'm going to finish. Colossians 2, 7. What do you got? You got it? Good. Give it to me. Rooted? built up in Him, established in your faith, as you've been taught, overflowing with thanksgiving. When we're not thankful, it opens a door. And when we're rooted in Him, when we're rooted in Him, it's an overflow of thankfulness. An overflow of thankfulness. When I'm rooted in Him, amen? When I am built up in Him, my faith is built up in Him, I'm overflowing in thankfulness. Why? Here's why. Because I begin to recognize, I'm thankful. Why? Because of what He did. I begin to recognize what He did for me at the cross. And what the enemy tries to determine, when I become thankful for what He did at the cross. Not just today, come on, but 2,000 years ago, what He established in me is enough. Come on, amen. And when I become rooted in that, hallelujah, the enemy can throw whatever he can at you. But if you're rooted in that, hallelujah, what He did 2,000 years ago, you're going to be thankful. And it's going to overflow in your life. And others will say, why are you so happy? Because I'm rooted and grounded in Him. Because I'm rooted and grounded. Your thankfulness will overflow. Amen? So, let me. A lot of stuff here. Let me finish here. You all right? Okay, that's my time. I know. I'm done. All right. So, if I begin to have thankfulness, I'll get into this next week about thankfulness. I don't have time now. But thankfulness, when I get thankfulness in my heart, it will overflow out of my mouth. When I get thankfulness in my heart, it will overflow out of my mouth. It will overflow. If I believe in my heart, confess with my mouth. Amen. So, I swear I had another. So here's what I just wanted to give you real quick. Just a couple things about some of these men of God, some of these different ones, some of these disciples. One of them was named Jason. Mentioned in Acts 5-9. And these are people just like us. I want you to hear that. Just like me and you. Chosen for greatness. And he went to an island sent by Paul. And the island was called Confu. And he converted and he was put into prison for what he was preaching. Bound and chained and shoved into a prison. And while he was in there, he didn't murmur. He didn't say, woe is me. Why'd I get into this? But while he was there, he converted the 7 prisoners that were with him in the cell. They got so overwhelmed by God that it irritated the king so bad that he brought them out and he told them to deny Christ. If you do, I'll let you go free. And they said, nah. So he boiled them to death. All 7. And the town exploded. Exploded in confessing Christ that they got saved. The whole town converted to Christ. Whole town. He got so mad, he was so angry that with a couple Christians that he took off after them in his boat, and sunk. But before that, his daughter gets saved. Because of these men, she looks and says, I want what they got. What they gave their lives up for what they believe. I want that. That's real. So she came to Christ, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and gave all of her treasures away, all her jewels, to the poor. I don't need this no more. She gave it all away. And her dad got so mad at her, he threw her in prison, and she still wouldn't deny Christ. So he took her and put her, tied her to a tree, and her archers shot arrows at her and killed her. That's just one. Out of these men, these women that served Christ. Something about that. There's something real about that. You don't give your life up. One of the evidence of knowing something's real is if you're willing to die for it. It's not too many things people are willing to die for. But when you find something you're willing to die for, it's real. There was a man named Aristobulus. A lot of crazy names. But he was the brother of Barnabas. He was assistant to Andrew. And he was beaten to death. Timothy was the apostle of Ephesus. He was beaten to death. Philemon, he was killed by Nero. He was brought out in the midst of the Colosseum and was eaten by lions, worshiping God. They said with his hands. Dionysus. I really am into this guy. It's pretty cool. He was a bishop of Corinthia. He was the Areopagite. But it was at a place where that he got converted because he stood there and he heard Paul preach. It was called Mars Hill. Is this for a second? You all right for a second? It's called Mars Hill. And he stood there and he preached a message. And because of that, nations were saved because of one message. These disciples went out. They left everything and they went out. Left their homes, left everything to go declare the gospel. And there was this man here. But see, this man had an encounter with Jesus that Paul didn't even know. And when he preached it, it all made sense and it came alive to him. Because he watched Jesus crucified. He seen it. He was there. And he watched it. And he was overwhelmed. And he was really overwhelmed when the sun was darkened with darkness in the middle of the day. And he knew something. There's something about this. Until he met Paul. And Paul put it together. And he said he left there. He says, and he went and he found out who Mary was. And Mary was the mother of Christ. He said, I want to meet her. I want to meet her. I would too. I would want to meet her. Like, I got to meet the mother of Christ. I mean, I just like to meet her, you know. And he says, when he went in, he says, he walked in. He says, and he felt the Spirit of God. He knew that this was the mother of God. He knew it. He just knew it. And he went there, even where she was buried, which just, he watched, went to her funeral. But I mean, I just want you just to think, these are some, that's three or four out of the, just 70 of the first disciples that were sent by Christ. Some of these guys were in the upper room. Some of them weren't. Some of them were. But they were sent to go, commissioned to go. Some of them were slaves. Some of them were women. Some of them were husbands and wives. But I just wanted to give you that because I think it's so powerful for us to see that they were willing for their faith to walk with God. Would you stand? God's building our faith. Amen. Building up our faith in Him. We having the same spirit of faith, having as it is written, I believe and therefore I speak. I believe, so I speak. Knowing that he which raised up Jesus from the dead shall present us with you. For all things are for his sakes and the abundant grace. God will turn anything, say he'll turn anything. It could be the worst moment in your life, and God will turn it for good, for his glory, for his glory, for his glory. Doesn't matter what it is, he'll turn it for his glory. Those men gave their lives up, and because they were willing to deny and to not deny Christ and to say yes, the kingdom of God was expanded because they said yes to God and they died. And because of it, the kingdom of God spread because they said yes to God. Am I willing to die? Am I willing to die to self to begin with? Am I willing to die to that old nature to say yes to God, for the kingdom of God to expand, to get bigger, to become greater? I want to do that. I want to do that. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, Lord, I ask to God, Lord, for your hand, your strength upon our lives. I pray to God, Lord, as we seek you, we'll find you. God, Lord, that you reveal yourselves to these ones right here tonight. God, Lord, I pray. God, Lord, just for a greater revelation, a greater understanding. I pray to God, Lord, their eyes be open like never before. I ask to God, Lord, that this spirit of hunger that you placed in my heart for your word, I pray to God, Lord, be released in Jesus' name into their hearts, God. I declare blessing in that area of their lives right now in Jesus' name. Just an incredible hunger that will keep them up at night, hallelujah, that will wake them up to get in the word in Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen.